Back to Head Games on Sirius Satellite. I want to thank Mark Schlereth for joining us for his comments on the BCS and Darren Williams and the playoffs. And I know where I'm starting with this, with Luke Jensen. Luke, the Giants, Jeremy Shockey catches a ball, his helmet comes off, and he keeps running. It looks as if his life is about to be handed to him. What'd that do for you?
Well, to me, it shows you the kind of toughness he really has. And, you know, boy, what a target for those Eagles to get out after the guy. I mean, what a great target to see his helmet off, and he's kind of a big mouth, a loud mouth. You want to take him out, but it shows the toughness of that sport. I love it.
And it also, to me, was exactly what the Giants needed, with a team that has not had the emotional consistency. Do you think, when you look at their head coach and his situation, do you think they should keep him, or do you think it's time for a change?
I think it's time for a change. I think when you're looking at a situation where he's been there now for, what, 2 years, 3 years, he's had an opportunity to right the ship, to get these guys on the same page. It seems to me that they have so many different players on different paths going in different directions. Whether it's football, tennis, or business, you've got to get the team going in the same direction, or you've got to let them go.
Okay, we're going to move on to this San Diego game, a little bit more depth with Merrill Hodge comments about Phillip Rivers and the rest of this team.
And then you do the reverse action off it. So they have a lot of things you got to take away if you're going to contain LT, which is going to be difficult. Now, in the passing game, you know, they're not limited to Antonio Gates. And Antonio Gates is a special player in the sense that he doesn't just play in the hash area. They'll line him up wide. And people will treat him as their best wide receiver. So, you know, they'll put corners on him, and he beats those guys. So they have wide receivers that can beat you down the field. They can attack you, sure. Then we didn't even talk about all of the so-called trick plays or the, you know, the gadget plays with LT, where he throws the football and they do some things from that perspective. So there's a lot of things that you have to be able to take away. I mean, granted, you're going to try to take away some of the things, but you can't take away all of them. And those other things that you can't take away, they still have the ability to beat you. So, you know, and obviously Phillip Rivers has struggled. You know, there was a couple weeks where he struggled. You know, people will tend to say, oh, he's going to struggle. And I just don't think so in this game. You know, I go to a team that he probably had one of his best performances of the year that kind of broke them out when he had really kind of played poorly or had been inept is when they played the Pittsburgh Steelers on a Monday night. He made a throw to Antonio Gates, I think changed their season when Joey Porter was covering him. So, you know, when you look at how guys play to this point, you know, even the last game of the year, I thought he played a lot better. I don't expect him to play bad. I expect him to play great. And they don't have to have him play great, though, in order to win, because they have so many other things they can use to win.
That's our good friend Merrill Hodge from Monday's show. And I thought we'd start off with basically the two Goliaths, if you will, in this game. You could say that it's Belichick and Marty Schottenheimer, but within that framework, it's can Belichick make sure that Phillip Rivers is the guy that has to win the game for San Diego?
No, there's no doubt about that. You've got to take away your opponent's strengths. You've got to make sure that their number one guy is shut down. You let the rookie quarterback, Merrill's, you know, right, the guy's played on and off. He did beat Pittsburgh, and he had a clutch throw. But here's the thing. This is the playoffs. This is the second round of the playoffs, and you're playing an established team like the New England Patriots, who are known for defensive schemes. In my opinion, they're going to shut down as many touches as possible, LT, and force the rookie quarterback. Yes, he's been in the league more than 1 year, but still, he's a rookie in the playoffs. Force him to throw the ball.
And just the fact that Tom Brady is playing at such a high level, I just think it's going to be a very, very difficult game. What would be your advice to Marty Schottenheimer to get his team focused on simply doing the things that they've been doing all season long and not worrying about the psychological underdog status of the other team, all those other things they can't control?
Take care of your assignments. You're blocking, you're running. Whatever you have to do, you have to run your routes. You have to see your reads and execute. That's just in practice. That's getting down to what you have to do to execute your offense and your game plan. Plus, in my opinion, you know, Marty hasn't won the big Super Bowl game. He hasn't been to the big game. So I think he needs to go out there and loosen it up a little bit. Why not open it up with a big bomb just to loosen up the defense a little bit early on? Then give LT some running lanes. I think you can't be predictable against Belichick, or you're going to lose.
You know, I remember when we played, the Chiefs played Philadelphia Eagles. in 1992, I believe, and Randall Cunningham was the quarterback. They were 5-0, and our good friend Seth Joyner, who's going to join us in a couple minutes, was on that team, and they were playing at the highest level, and we knew the only way we could win was to let it loose. And David Craig let loose of a bomb on the very first play of the game for a touchdown. We get up 21-0 in the end. We just held on for dear life. We won 24-19, I think. But the bottom line was we did something they could not have predicted. They didn't think Marty was capable of it. I think you're exactly right, that in this game, Marty's going to have to show them that they are willing to do whatever it takes right off the bat, and that changes things. You look also, when you compare game strategies, on the college level, this BCS game was interesting to see how Ohio State was so enamored with stretching it out, with what they did against Michigan, with spreading the field, that they forgot about their basic strength. So the interesting match, if you will, is to be unpredictable, but also remember that your bread and butter is LT. Your bread and butter, like Ohio State, was your running game.
And do you really think that kicker for San Diego is confident? Remember, he blew the playoff game last year. To me, it's going to come down to a couple of key plays, a couple of key kicks. You're in that scenario, Nick. I mean, do you really think that kicker is confident in the clutch, in the playoffs?
Well, it's interesting you ask that, because he's had a tremendous year. He's going to the Pro Bowl. Nate Kading is an excellent kicker. But then you have to find a way to get to that place where you realize this is, as you said, the playoffs, and not do anything differently, but at the same time anticipate. Don't just stand on the sidelines like he did last time against the Jets and walk around as if you don't have a big kick. You've got to be ready to run on the field. Make sure you anticipate everything so you're ready. Don't just go through the motions. Let's talk to Al Saunders about the Indianapolis situation.
You know, they're playing offensively. They can play better than that offensively, and if they can play that way defensively and then shut down a running game like Kansas City's and do that on a consistent basis, they've got to be somebody that everybody is going to reckon with. But the way Philadelphia played and the way they played at the last part of the season here, I think they're, you know, they're really a team that's playing well and playing on both sides of the ball well enough to maybe go the distance. But it'll be a real interesting game to see San Diego and Baltimore, you know, play and how they play in their playoff run to the Super Bowl. So it's going to be a great playoff series, and I'm looking forward to looking at some of these games this weekend coming up.
That's Al Saunders, who was devastated watching his old Chiefs team not get a first down, Luke Jensen, in almost three quarters. Did you watch that game?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, that was an interesting game, because I thought the Chiefs were just going to run down their throats. I mean, it's amazing to me how Indianapolis, remember, we talk about this every week. What do you have to prove? Indianapolis has a ton to prove to their fans. And here's the big thing. They're going back to Baltimore. How massive is that? That is huge. You know, no moving vans, all that stuff. This is deep. This is personal for both clubs. And so it's a big proving ground for every team here, especially Indianapolis, who's had such great regular season victories, but nothing big in the playoffs. So Peyton Manning, here's, in my opinion, the difference. The way Peyton audibles, he lets that defensive line wait and wait and wait, sit in that stance. And that wears you out. And I think if Peyton can sit there and get consistent, good catches from his receivers, he's going to be in the money.
You know, my thing is with Merrill Hodge on Monday was, is this Indianapolis team capable of being physical enough? And what I want to hear from Seth Joyner is, one player, Bob Sanders, comes back. He's the catalyst. He's the guy that gets their motor running. And suddenly they go from, without question, the worst run defense in the NFL to an incredibly efficient one that shuts down the Chiefs. What do they have? Something like 82 yards or some ridiculous amount, 100 yards total versus 360 or something for Indianapolis. So it's the physical side of the game. And also, is Indianapolis going to have a new level of confidence just because one person in Bob Sanders made a difference?
Yeah, I you know, anywhere you can find confidence. If you can find confidence in one guy, if you can find confidence in a way to prove to your, not only your fans, but to the critics out there, that you're ready for the next step. You've got to step up. You've got to plug those holes, and you've got to tackle. Clean tackles, good execution, that's going to win that game.
Here's Merrill Hodge from Monday's show.
know what? I do not. I think that Peyton Manning and the Colts, they get a bad rap for not being physical because, you know, they throw the football. But, you know, I just got done watching them against the Ravens last year. And the one thing that stood out to me is how they lined up and they played a physical part of that game with them. They played physical. They won, like I said, what was it, 24-0? You know, their defense completely shut down the Ravens. I know they got Steve McNair, so plays much better than what they had a year ago. And they're doing things different offensively. But as far as a defense, that's going to do a lot of the same things to Peyton Manning. At the end of the game, when they had to kill the clock and they had to run the ball, they ran the football. They lined up and they attacked physically. You know, so I think they get a bad rap for that. Because I remember a game a couple years ago in Tennessee when Tennessee was a physical team. The Colts went up there and they ended up beating them. And they beat them at the physical part of the game. So I think that, to me, is something the Colts don't get enough credit. But it's going to be a great quarterback duel. When I say that, I mean Peyton Manning against Ray Lewis, because Ray Lewis does what Peyton Manning does on the defensive side.
When we come back, we're going to talk with our friend Luke Jensen some more and Seth Joyner about the playoffs. Then we're going to go to Jim Beattie, our baseball correspondent, and Josh Burns, the general manager for the Diamondbacks, about the newest signing, the return of the big unit. And also the Hall of Fame snubs, the steroid situation, which we talked about in the first segment with Mark Schlereth. We'll be right back on Head Games Radio. Stay with us on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 120.